This is Matt Wells at UN News. Keeping COVID-19 infections at bay among Palestinian refugees has never been so crucial as the new school year gets underway, the UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, has said. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, agency spokesperson Tamara Al-Rifai explains how the agency's put changes in place to try and keep safe the 5.6 million people it aids across Jordan, Lebanon, Syria and the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip.
Well, UNRWA has just launched an appeal to raise funds for it to be able to continue responding to the consequences of COVID-19. The immediate emergency, of course, is a health emergency, and making sure that the Palestine refugee community and the UNRWA staff are all safe. The other immediate emergency is making sure that the Palestine refugee community has access to all the critical services that UNRWA gives them, even though the way we deliver these services has changed. So, for instance, everyone needs to have access to medical services, but they can no longer come to the UNRWA health centers. Instead, UNRWA health staff proceeds through telemedicine and home delivery of essential drugs.
Right, so people are getting their essential health needs. But I think what was most alarming about what you said over the weekend was that the number of COVID infections really are starting to spike alarmingly. Could you give me a bit more detail about that?
UNRWA is very concerned about the spike in numbers of COVID-19 across the countries we work in. So we've seen a spike in the West Bank over the last few weeks, but also a spike in Lebanon, recently a spike in Gaza, which until not very long ago was relatively contained. We also saw a spike in Jordan and Syria with the conflict. We hear about a spike, but there is very little data and information coming from there. So everywhere we work seems to be becoming worse.
And the point is that you were able to keep it at bay, if you like, the infections of this new coronavirus, because you were helping some of the 5.6 million registered Palestine refugees in the Middle East with what they needed to stay at home and keep away from others, so therefore preventing transmission of the virus. But that has now changed because people just literally have to get back to work.
UNRWA was able to contain largely the outspread of COVID-19 because we were able to convince people to stay home. Convince them, meaning delivering to their homes what they needed, whether it's food assistance or whether it's medicine or whether it's distance learning. The problem is when this situation took much longer than we thought, people needed to go back to work and to their livelihoods. Palestine refugees say things like, we'd rather catch COVID-19 than go hungry.
Yeah, and you can understand that, can't you?
Of course, you can understand that given the scale of the socioeconomic impact of COVID-19 around the world, it's only worse on vulnerable communities like refugee communities, and in particular, Palestine refugee communities.
Another element of your work is obviously education. And I know that your Commissioner General is very proud of the educational support that you give to, 500,000 Palestinian refugee children. Maybe you could tell me about how their back-to-school challenges have panned out, whether they're doing remote learning or whether they're actually back in class.
The early signs are all very exciting and very positive. Students across the fields we work in at UNRWA are extremely excited to go back to school. We're talking about over 500,000 girls and boys in over 700 UNRWA schools. We're talking about a big cohort of people, and a big cohort of people who were committed in the last academic year to continuing their learning, even though it was remote and often difficult. When you're a Palestine refugee, you don't necessarily have an individual tablet and constant internet coverage. And yet, the number of students that went on learning last year was really high, and this is something we at UNRWA are very proud of. This year, we have several scenarios in place. Either the children go fully back to school physically while respecting social distancing and hygiene rules and everything, or they have a blended approach. So they go for 3 days to school and they study remotely for 3 days. We also have a scenario in case the situation gets worse and we have another lockdown where students fully learn remotely. So we're looking at all scenarios and we're prepared to mix and match just to continue education.
And what would you say in terms of COVID's exposing the weaknesses of the system, if you like. We've seen that all over the world. It's exposed the frailties I've already mentioned of people with chronic illness, those who don't have a job with some welfare support. What would you say in the five areas where UNRWA works, East Jerusalem, Gaza Strip, Lebanon, Syria, the West Bank, and Jordan?
Like in every crisis, the most vulnerable are the ones who are most put to the test. And in the case of COVID-19, as you said, a lot of the weaknesses of different systems, whether it's health, education, welfare, were tested. However, some of the strengths of some institutions were also tested. In the case of UNRWA, because we have a very long and solid experience in education in emergencies, for example, we were able to shift very quickly to distance learning and to supporting students and families and the teachers and the education staff to continue education. The same for our health services. We do have that experience, which unfortunately we took from various wars and conflicts and emergencies, but it's an experience that helped us well in this lockdown and closure phase because of COVID-19.